I think of sustainability as kind of like a lens for seeing the world. It's not an entity, it's not a defined thing. It's kind of like a whole cultural lifestyle thing. It finds its way into everything you do, whether it's what you buy, what you eat, where you travel, what you wear, it's everything.
Hello and welcome back to the Sustainability Podcast, where we drink tea and talk about sustainable projects. I'm Tanner with the Office of Sustainability.
And I am Emma, also with the Office of Sustainability. I run the social media here.
And today we're going to interview Adrian Berry, who's a former political science student at the college and a current Office of Sustainability staff member. Adrian has been with the office since it began, playing a huge role in its start. He's also been involved in numerous organizations. And today, he's drinking some black chai tea. Have you tasted it yet?
I'm tasting it right now.
All right, he's going to tell us if it's good or not. It might be too hot, I'm really sorry.
It is hot, but it's still lovely.
Perfect. All right. So how did you, or where did your initial interest in sustainability start?
As a kid, I grew up in a pretty rural bucolic town, and so I spent a lot of time outside. I also had horses my whole life, so things like literally riding the trails to school would be something that I did, you know, with some regularity. So I had a lot of outdoor exposure, and my mother was like a typical former hippie earth mother type. So that was really foundational to my upbringing, and I carried it through into adulthood, but expanded on it in terms of the, you know, going from environmental sustainability to comprehensive sustainability.
Okay, so your interest in sustainability, you would say, like, came from, like, your parents or your mom?
Certainly my upbringing, yeah, and my mom was really fundamental to that.
Okay, so where did you, grew up in New Jersey, right?
Yep, northern New Jersey.
So what brought you to the College of Charleston?
The Cuba Study Abroad program.
From there, how did you get involved, or in what ways were you involved in the sustainable community before you got involved with the office?
I hadn't really been that involved in organizations at college prior to transferring to CFC, but then in my first year, I got pretty heavily involved, first by starting a campus club, which was sustainability oriented, that was inspired primarily by both the trip to Cuba in the study abroad program, as well as two classes that I took with my advisor in political science, Dr. Helen Delfeld. The first one was international human rights law, and the second was international environmental policy. And both took a really sustainability-oriented approach to both subjects. And immediately after completing them, I went back to Jersey for the summer and built a garden, and then came back to CFC that fall, and with my roommate at the time, who was also a political science student and was also on the Cuba Study Abroad program, we created CFC for Urban Agriculture with the goal of trying to replicate the really advanced urban agriculture system that functions in Havana.
Did the CFC Urban Agriculture, did that ever take off? Or?
It did. It was really successful for the first few years. We ended up being one of the more powerful organizations on campus in terms of student clubs. We got several thousand dollars through SGA funding to build an on-campus garden at the Political Science Department, which is actually still standing. It was rebuilt by Alexa Keene and the office a few years after, but we had designed it to be, taken apart and reconstructed because we didn't anticipate it lasting this long. It's been there for, you know, probably 8 years now. But the club was successful. We also launched a nonprofit that we were going to use to go into the community. So that actually still exists as a South Carolina Incorporated nonprofit. And then we kind of, liaised with other clubs on campus. We had good relationships with Alliance for Planet Earth, Americans for Reform Democracy, South Carolina Student Legislature, the Political Science Club, SGA as well, all of which I also eventually joined, and in some cases became president of. I ended up being really involved on campus. I held like every position you could possibly hold as a student.
So how did the office get its start?
It was kind of a confluence of multiple things. So most people who are listening to this probably know about the green fee that they pay as students on campus, and that was something that was pushed by an undergraduate student and a graduate student who did some research and polling on campus to kind of force that through the Board of Trustees and actually got a unanimous vote in favor for it. And so once that fund was created, the college needed someone to administer it. And around the same time, they've been looking at sustainability because it was becoming a nationally relevant idea, and sustainability offices were becoming more and more important. But at the time, they had it really buried beneath several different departments as like a person that reports to a person that reports to a person and onward. And so they did eventually seek what at the time would have been a coordinator, and they brought in three finalists from around the country to be interviewed by the campus community. And all were really lackluster, would be generous. And eventually they canceled the entire search, decided to restart it again, and they offered it to Dr. Fisher, who was at the time on the search committee. And he said he would only take it if they elevated it to a more prominent position that reports directly to a vice president. So the entire thing was changed. And within the first hour that he was made director, he created the Office of Sustainability, specifically, or at least ostensibly, to administer that fund.
You say within the first hour?
Yes.
So right away, that's cool.
Yeah. That is really cool. So how did it grow from there? What kind of like came next? Like once it was the Office of Sustainability, what did the office start out doing?
So we kind of were able to hit the ground running with it as an office because we had been quietly strategizing. I had taken Dr. Fisher's sustainability course when it was first offered in the fall before the August when the office was created. And so he recruited me to his little task force, the sustainability task force, that kind of ran under the radar and parallel to the President's Advisory Committee for Sustainability. They had become kind of big and unwieldy at the time. And so we worked for, you know, almost an entire year, certainly an academic year. Dr. Fisher, myself, and Jen Jones, and a few other people who were affiliates of the task force, working primarily on things like the greenhouse gas audit that became one of the first reports we did. So we had already been thinking about what our dreams would be for a sustainability-minded office. We already knew kind of the structure we wanted. We knew we wanted it to be a student-based office. So on that day in August that he called the three of us together and announced what had happened and that there was now an office, we already kind of knew what we would do in the next month, which is exactly what we did. And we interviewed a bunch of students, hired a bunch of interns, and created what essentially is still the structure of the office today.
Wow. That's really cool.
It was fun. Actually, it was a lot of fun.
So from the beginning, the goal is to have it more of a student-run
absolutely
office.
And at the time, we had already started, so that there was Fisher's sustainability class, and the next semester that spring, he also taught a capstone on, well, ostensibly it was a capstone on climate change, but it became pretty comprehensive. And he created different mini project groups, and one of the groups was specifically designed to figure out what the students wanted to do with the green fee or the green fund. And I wasn't in the class, but I was, you know, pulled and put into that group along with Jen Jones in like a advisory capacity. And the group ended up calling itself Green CFC, and they put on a public presentation of different ideas for projects related to sustainability that could be implemented with this fund. And that then became the next year, Jen and I and a few other students that were affiliated with the office, we created Green CFC as a sanctioned student organization, so a club on campus. And that was also meant to be like the student wing of the office. They originally envisioned to be like a hand-in-hand official campus entity and official student entity. It would also be potentially a labor force for the office, a potential place to source new interns, and also importantly, check on Dr. Fisher. He originally envisioned that he would at some point get something wrong, like anyone would, and he really wanted there to be a vibrant, strong student entity to push back against him in that event. So, like I say, everything that's been planned for the office has always had students not just as a central role as interns, but as a driving force of agency and a actual counterweight against Fisher and other administrators who might lose touch or might get something wrong or might just not really be listening to what the students want.
So you said Green CFC was like the student like counterweight. How has that changed over time? Because I think, is Green CFC still an organization?
It took a couple of years. It was probably at least 4 or 5 years Green CFC was in operation. But eventually those first few generations kind of started graduating and disappearing. and it became hard and also duplicative because there are other organizations on campus like Alliance for Planet Earth. And so eventually we all decided that it made more sense to fold Green CFC into Alliance for Planet Earth because it did. It's, you know, it's a national thing. It has name recognition. It's been around on campus since at least the early 2000s, if not the late 90s. Mm-hmm. So we thought that made more sense, and that's been working fairly effectively. Alliance for Planet Earth still is the main partner for the waste audit that happens every year and has been happening every year for as long as anyone can remember. So it's a good match.
So Green CFC is basically what Alliance for Planet Earth is now.
Yes.
Cool. Do you feel like you still see the same initial vision for the office, or do you think it's changed a lot over the years?
It's definitely changed a lot. The original purpose and the original driving force, I think, is still the same, but you can't escape the level of institutionalization that is natural as you grow and as you become more formalized. So we're definitely not the, like, schlubs that were kind of just out prodding people with sticks, being annoying to the administration that we originally were as a task force. We're more organized, we're bigger, we have this giant house now. We have, you know, as many as, I think we peaked at 37 interns in one semester, which was just too many. But but it's a good thing.
Yeah.
So, like, there are those concerns. It's still that student-centered, slightly radical, original driving force that we had, but definitely we have additional things to think about that we didn't before. We are way more cognizant about working with other partners on campus who might not be as, you know, quote-unquote enlightened as we'd like, or really progressive. But I think it's worked out well because we have so much more capacity now. It's a concern and it's new stuff to think about, but it seems to be working well, and I still see all those glimmers of what originally was the office still here. It's just the new normal, and it's working out well.
Mm-hmm. What direction would you like to see the office move in the future, or do you think there's any improvements that can be made?
Yeah, I think that as a campus, being a campus that's approaching its 250th anniversary, we're very ossified into our different little subsections and fiefdoms and all that territorialness that comes with a very old, very siloed institution. So I would like to see more integration. Like right now we have several bodies on campus that work in sustainability, in the academic level, the facilities level, campus-wide comprehensive level. And there's just not enough integration of all of them. There are things happening on campus all the time. They're always awesome and super sustainability related, but there's no one synthesizing all that information into one place and centralizing a way for people to actually know what's going on. So I would really like to see the office help be that hub, which was one of the original intentions of the office, is a hub for sustainability. And I think potentially we're seeing that happen. I think some exciting things are probably going to happen over the summer as we go through the interim president process, as we're looking for a new president after President McConnell. And of course, the interim president is Steve Osborne, who is our former vice president and Dr. Fisher's boss. So we're hopeful that we could have some level of influence on a new vision for the office moving forward in that institutionalized formal context.
So basically, you want the whole campus to be on the same page about sustainability.
Yeah, I think that there's just too much duplication going on, mm-hmm. and too many things that are happening without people realizing they're happening. Mm-hmm. So I would really like someone to be able to centralize all this information and prevent the wasteful duplication while also highlighting the awesome stuff that's going on so that everyone can get involved in it.
That's cool. So with that in mind, what would you say is your definition of sustainability?
Well, that was the final assignment in Fisher's sustainability class, and what we found was after an entire semester, none of us could really answer it. Actually, we probably were further from answering it than we were at the beginning. I think of sustainability as kind of like a lens for seeing the world. It's not an entity, it's not a defined thing. It's kind of like a whole cultural lifestyle thing. It finds its way into everything you do, whether it's what you buy, what you eat, where you travel, what you wear. It's everything. So I definitely view it as a lens for seeing the world, for approaching problems, for making decisions.
Wow. So sustainability is everything.
It is. It's
Can
everything.
Can I quote you on that?
Absolutely.
Get in writing.
I'm loving this whole podcast venture.
Yeah.
I think there are really exciting topics and people, and I'm always excited to see who the next interview is going to be. So this is one of my favorite things the office is currently doing.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see it expand in other directions.
Definitely. Awesome. Well, thank you for sitting down with us, Adrian.
Always my pleasure.
Wonderful. And I hope you enjoyed your tea.
I did. It was chai lovely.
Thanks so much for listening. We put out new sustainability podcasts every Thursday. If you'd like to hear more, you can go to synergies.cfc.edu.